The Bible tells us we are to rejoice in the Lord always. Ann Wilson says there are times in our lives when we have to fight for that joy.
My mom was in memory care, and just a few months ago, I walked up on the third floor of this memory care, and everybody's in wheelchairs, all their heads are down, and it's sad. It's just sad. And so I walk in there, and I go around to every single one. I know them by name now. I've been there enough. And I kiss them. I hug them. And it was so interesting. What are we doing today? All their heads start to lift up. You know, because joy, that's what joy does. And that isn't that what Jesus does? He's a lifter of our heads. In the midst of pain, he's lifting us.
This is Family Life Today. Our hosts are Dave and Ann Wilson. I'm Bob Lapine. You'll find us online at familylifetoday.com. Fighting for joy, especially in our marriage, is a big deal. We're going to hear more about that today from Dave and Ann Wilson. Stay with us. And welcome to Family Life Today. Thanks for joining us. You know, we haven't talked about this over the last couple of weeks. We just got off the 10th anniversary Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise. It was amazing.
It was fabulous.
I'm still there. I don't know about you guys.
I want to be there.
You guys might be back in reality. I'm still sailing in the Caribbean.
Well, when you live in Detroit, you have to sail in the Caribbean as often as you can. We had a great week with 5,500 people who joined us on the cruise this year, and it was a great getaway, but it was also full of rich content about marriage and about family. And I think the thing that I love so much about being on the cruise is everyone you meet, it's like you're meeting an old friend.
That's true. I think the relationships that you make, and it feels like I know these people because we're all in it together.
Yeah, I underestimated what a Love Like You Mean It cruise would be. I knew it'd be fun because you're cruising,
right?
And so it's like a vacation, but the marriage content, the family content that's available really every day, anytime.
Yeah.
And even when you go back to your room, you can watch on the TV what you might have missed. It is enriching for your family.
I feel like
marriage.
It's probably some of the best content that you'll receive in the country. Yeah. I really think that.
Well, we stepped off the boat and we're already 60% full for next year. And so I said to the guys, I said, so what about Family Life Today listeners? How can we make sure there are some rooms for them? And they said, okay, here's what we're going to do. Between now and March 16th, any Family Life Today listener who wants to sign up, we expect this could sell out by the end of March, but you sign up here in the first 2 weeks of March, you'll save $300 per couple off your stateroom. That's the best rate we make available. You can lock down your room and you can get in before the cruise sells out. All the details about the Love Like You Mean It marriage cruise are available online at familylifetoday.com. You can register online. We're ready to have you join us. It's Valentine's week next year. And again, go to familylifetoday.com for more information about the cruise. You two did a devotion one morning on the cruise that I just thought was really good. You talked about the importance of joy in a marriage, the importance of joy in our lives. And so we're going to give listeners this week a taste. I was going to say, you can't really get a taste because the cafeteria is closed, but we're going to give you some samples of some of the content that we heard on board the cruise. And this devotion, I thought, was one of the highlights of the week.
All right, so there's two beliefs I believe will dictate every decision you make every single day. Here's the first one. What you believe about God, I call that theology. What's your belief, understanding of the attributes of who God is? What you believe about God, theology, and what you believe about yourself, I call that identity. So theology and identity, I think, dictates every decision we make. We're making a decision based on who God is, what his attributes are, and who we believe we are. If we are a child of God, we walk into a room with confidence. If we don't believe we're a child of God, our identity is placed in something else. We don't. And so I think every decision is based on those two beliefs. Anybody with me? Maybe, maybe not. So here's the question. We don't have time to talk about theology and identity, right? We'll talk about identity some other time. We're just going to take a couple minutes to talk about what do you believe about who God's character is?
Yeah, so if you just had to say, this is what I believe about God, and these are his attributes. What are some of the top things that come to your mind when you think of God's attributes?
Just yell that real quick. Loving, just, faithful,
mercy,
awesome, merciful,
forgiving,
grace.
Those are good.
Okay, that was great. Here's one we didn't hear. And I know you believe this. I hope you believe this. But it's often not in the top five or top 10. Joyful, happy, laughter. Let me tell you, those are part of the character of God. Now, everything you said is also part of that. And could we do a message on any one of those? Of course. Righteousness, justice, holiness.
But think about that. Where does happiness, where does joy come from? From the heart of the Father. And yet we don't always attribute those to the top.
And I grew up in a home. Mom and dad were alcoholics, got divorced at age 7. So it's just my mom and I that she raised me. And she was an amazing woman. And she made me go to church every Sunday, whether I wanted to or not. I would see her at the door, David Scott, we're going to church. And I hated it, just hated going to church. And in fact, when I got to college, never went again until I became a Christian my junior year. That's a whole other story. But I had to go to church. And one of the reasons I didn't like church is because the God at that church was always mean. And he was upset about something. So I had this view, God was angry. My mom had a picture of Jesus hanging over our fireplace. This is the picture. Now, I mean, it doesn't look angry, but when I would walk through the living room and there was the fireplace, I felt like his eyes followed me. You know what I'm saying? It's like, especially when I was a teenager, I was like, I wouldn't even go in that room because I'm messing up and I'm doing things. And it was like, Jesus is mad at me. I always thought God was like just looking down on earth, waiting for somebody to mess up and get him. Anybody ever play whack-a-mole? Dave and Buster's whack-a-mole, where you hit the little moles? That's what I thought God was. You know, oh, they're having fun. That's what I thought. That was my view of God. Let me ask you something. Can you, in your mind's eye, picture a God who laughs? A God who smiles? And again, both are true. There's justice. But have you ever seen a picture like this? That's 1970s Jesus, I guess. And I had never seen an image of that of Jesus until I was in college. And that very image, not the exact one we're looking at, but that image right there is like, could it be true that the Bible says there's joy in Jesus? I love what John Ortberg says in a book, The Life You Always Wanted To, talking about celebration. He says, I believe if you study the scriptures, you will conclude this. God is the happiest being in the universe. Some of you are like, I can't even imagine. God is the happiest being in the universe.
Well, I love some of the things the scripture says too. Jesus said, I've said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy should be complete. Psalm 34:8 says, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence with eternal pleasure at your right hand. And then Hebrews 1:9, you love justice and hate evil. Therefore, O God, your God has anointed you, pouring out the oil of joy on you more than anyone else. And then Nehemiah, I love this verse, but you never really think about it. Nehemiah 8:10, the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. Think about that. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
You know, it's interesting. If you think about what that means right there, the people of Israel were in immense tragedy and trial when Nehemiah says this. Like, when you're going through something really hard, you don't want to hear that God is joy, because you just think, well, that's something I need. But when you're in the middle of a valley, and some of you are right there right now, you need to know the strength you need actually comes from the joy center of God. I love what John Piper says about the joy of the Lord is our strength. Listen to this. He says, God does not give us any joy outside of the joy he has in himself already, which means God's happiness is our strength. He says, it is a remarkable point delivered to Nehemiah and a people who are ravaged by war, weakened by insecurities, and constantly reminded of their own fragility. And this is where we find our strength for life, for pain, for trials, for marriage, for child raising, for missions, for everything. The strength we need for this life, listen to this, is found in the essential joy of God. Here's a Piper quote. You will never be spiritually stronger than your God is happy. Did you catch that? You will never be spiritually stronger than your God is happy. If you don't know God's joy, it's hard to have God's strength. It says God's joy is our strength. Settle it biblically. God is essentially happy within himself. So here's the thing we will just take a few minutes to talk about. Joy can shift a marriage. Joy can shift a marriage. And I'm telling you, joy is contagious.
I would say this, joy can shift a household.
Yeah.
Because I know that you know this, but I feel like in our culture, there's a storm outside of our homes. And so when our kids walk in the door or when Dave walks in the door, we have the power to create an atmosphere of joy, of love, of the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And so for us, this has been big because you don't always feel happy. But I love James 1 because what does it say? Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials. And so we've been passionate about this because we don't always feel it, but how can we create an atmosphere of joy in our home?
And so the question is, where do you find joy? Paul said in Philippians, anybody know? Said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. In the Greek language, if you want to emphasize something, you say it again. In our language, we just yell it. Rejoice! He says, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, but we miss this. Rejoice where? In the Lord. He's being very specific here. It isn't like you're just going to find joy in a drink or joy in your spouse. In fact, how's that working out for you? Right, we think I get married, I'm going to finally be happy. It doesn't always work that way, right? Try to find it here, try to find it in a job, amount of money. He says, no. You want joy, you find it in the Lord always. I say it again. He's like, I'm emphasizing this. This is where you find it. And so what was really interesting is, I don't know when it was, Bob, we brought in these two guys to do radio. It's already been broadcast. This was 6, 7, 8 months ago. And their book was called The 4 Joy Habits of Marriage. I'm saying it wrong, but it was four habits of joy for your marriage, and they were brain science guys. So I remember saying to Ann, it's like, we're going to interview science dudes tomorrow on radio. This is going to be boring. And they were fabulous. And one of the things they said, we don't have time to get into it, get the book, The 4 Joy Habits of Marriage.
Let me read this one. Here's one of the things they said. One of the key discoveries of brain science is that Freud was wrong. He taught that the fear of death and the desire for sex were the most powerful motivators in the world. However, the discovery of the brain magnet has shown that attachment, specifically joyful attachment, is the most powerful motivator in life. I thought that was interesting. Isn't that interesting? That is the biggest motivator in our life.
And he said, and what they're discovering about the brain is, where do you go to try and get joy? People. You find it from attachment. And that's where our greatest pain is. When that breaks apart, we have amazing pain. But he says, we go to people to find joy. And guess what? We marry. You're sitting beside the person right now that you married thinking they'd bring you happiness. How's that working? Hopefully you're like, yeah. And there are days it's happy. There are days it isn't happy. You know our story. There's a lot of unhappiness there. But here's the thing. There are habits you can develop that bring joy into your marriage. We're going to give you the 4 joy habits that they talk about in the book. We're just going to do them the Wilson way. We're going to spin them. But all they did was take the word plan. You need a plan. Habits are a plan. And you take these 4 words as an acrostic, and you have them, okay? So here's 4 joy habits to bring into your marriage. And some of these you don't feel. It's a habit. You don't want to go to the gym. You go to the gym because you know I'm going to do the right thing. So here's the first. You know what the P is? Play.
Yes, play together.
Play. You need to bring play into your marriage. And it's interesting. I am married to a woman that loves to play. Maybe too much. But she is crazy. I mean, there wasn't probably a shower I took when our kids were little. Our kids are 34, 31, and 28, something like that. Married, 5 grandkids. But when they were in the house, I'd be in the shower upstairs. I'd sometimes hear the door open. Sometimes I wouldn't. The shower door would open, and they'd throw an ice bucket of water on me almost weekly. And they'd all go, and run out. And I hated it, and now I miss it. And it was her. She was the one that brought that kind of play.
I think that's why, because exactly what I said, I want to create an atmosphere of joy in our home. And I wanted our kids to have this expectation when they go out and they get older and their friends are partying and things are going on. I wanted them to have this idea of, I wonder what mom and dad are doing. It's probably really fun. And so we may not feel like that, but we did it out of, like, this is going to create an atmosphere that people want to come to. It's that magnet, and it comes from Jesus.
And we had kids, teenagers at our house almost every night. You know why? Right there. Joy magnet. Wasn't me. Joy magnet. I mean, she, even in tough times, she brought a sense of joy from the Lord. It was from the Lord. One time, I was standing in the kitchen. My oldest son was 16. He just got his first used car that he bought with his own money. By the way, that's how you parent. You don't buy it for him, they buy it for him. Anyway, mowing yards and all this stuff, and he had this car, and it was a little Capri, and it was a shift, you know, a stick shift. It was sitting in the driveway, and I'm standing in the kitchen. There's a window here, and our driveway sort of slants down, and I see the car rolling from one window, and I look out, and I see nobody's in the car. So I start running, because if it goes off the basketball court, it's going to the woods, and there's pretty good slant, and it's picking up seats. So I start running, and as I get out there, it goes down a hill, front bumper, bam, right into a tree. And I realized later, because I saw a little 7-year-old running through the kitchen as I was running, he got in the car, moved it into neutral, started moving, got out and ran in. Right? And so I watched this thing go into the thing, and as it went in there,
I'm watching from the kitchen window. I see this car rolling down the hill, and then I see Dave screaming and chasing the car, and our sons are all running outside to see what's going on.
And so when I got to it, and you know, I couldn't stop it, and it hit the tree, and I looked up and saw a dent in the bumper, I had one thought. Anybody with me? I'm a tightwad. What'd I think? That's costing money. And I got mad. I was like, I can't believe that.
He was
what happened?
So mad.
And I'm standing there, who did this? And Cody's like walking away. And he didn't know he did it, but I got in there and it wasn't my fault, but I put it in neutral and started moving. I'm like, you can't get in the car. So I'm yelling. She comes out. Like 30 seconds later, she comes out, she looks at the whole scene and she goes, she is hysterically laughing.
He was not laughing, and he didn't think it was funny that I was laughing either.
Oh, no, like, it makes it even worse.
This is serious. This is money. This is irresponsibility.
And the more she laughed, I saw the boys just go like this. They moved away from me, over to her, and they started laughing. Why? Because laughter's a magnet. It's contagious. You don't want to go to a church where they don't laugh. You don't want to go to a cruise where they don't laugh. You don't want to, I mean, it's just like, isn't there joy in Christ? Yes, but why don't we ever show it? Now, in this moment, there shouldn't have been that much joy. But at some point, that laughter over there, those four people, it sifted over here. And I was fighting it. Like, I'm not going to smile at this. And eventually, I just had to laugh. Because you know what? It's a bumper. It can get fixed. It's only going to cost about $12,000. But other than that, I mean, it wasn't even $500, but still, it was like there was joy waiting for me, and I could step into it. It was almost like Ann was saying, come on, man. Come on in. This is where the Lord is. Rejoice in the Lord always again.
Because it's too late. There's nothing we could do about it at that point. Well, it's interesting. My mom was in memory care, and just a few months ago, I walked up on the third floor of this memory care, and everybody's in wheelchairs. All their heads are down. And it's sad. It's just sad. And so I walk in there, and I'm like, and it's mostly women. I'm like, ladies, what is up today? And I go around to every single one. I know them by name now. I've been there enough. And I kiss them. I hug them. And it was so interesting. Like, what are we doing today? And it's so interesting to me. You know, they're all like this. But all their heads start to lift up. You know, because joy, that's what joy does. And that isn't that what Jesus does? He's a lifter of our heads in the midst of pain. He's lifting us. And so that's what's in us, not in our own strength, but think about the fruit of the Spirit. What's the second? Love, joy. That is a fruit of God's Spirit in us.
So here's the thing. We got 7 minutes to cover three more. All right, so we're going to fly. But here's what I'd say about play. Some of you are like, I can't do it. I can't find joy. It's in the Lord, and you got to be spontaneous. You just got to go there. So here's the L. Listen for emotion. Listen for emotion. In other words, in your marriage, especially with your kids, as your wife or your spouse is speaking and telling you something, don't listen to just the words. There's a story behind the story. What is she saying? What is he saying? What's the emotion behind there? Often we don't listen close enough to lean in and find joy. There's something being said. I'll share something real quick that we put on our vertical marriage small group. So if you get that and watch that, you'll hear the story. But it's this simple. Preached all day Sunday, 3 services, exhausted, was on the Lions sideline that day. Come home that night, lay down in bed. I'm exhausted. It's 11:30, and I'm just closing my eyes. And here's what Ann says to me. In the dark, I'm like this. And she goes, you know, I just wish the man who led Kensington Church lived in this house as well. That's what she said. And I was just about to sleep. I'm like, I didn't really register, like, what? Says, well, you know, I just wish that the way you led spiritually our congregation.
Dave is an amazing leader. And at our church, I just sit there and I admire him as he's on the stage. Like, he's passionate, he's godly, he's leading us. And I know that when he comes home, he's tired. You guys feel like this when you come home from work, you're tired. And so I just said, I was thinking it was good. Like I said, you're an amazing leader.
She didn't say that night.
No, I did. I did say it.
I wish the man.
And you just didn't hear it.
I did not hear that.
Because the other part just killed you.
All I heard was, I don't lead at home. I don't pray at home like I do on the stage, blah, 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 blah. And I got really mad. And I said something like this. You don't know how good you got it. I'm the best man I know. Anyway, something like that just came out. And then we went to sleep. And I was mad. I don't think I slept. The next day, I went into my little home office, just a bedroom that I use, and I got on my knees and I said, God, were you speaking to me last night through Ann? And it was a loud, yep. And then I started to think,
God uses us women, right?
I thought, what was she really saying? I had not listened for emotion. I had only gotten defensive about what she said. Then I started just processing what she said. I'm like, oh my goodness, here's what she's saying. All you ladies already know. But she was saying, I don't feel loved. I don't feel seen. I don't feel led. I don't feel like you're my spiritual. It was all the things that the congregation may feel about me publicly, she was not feeling about me privately. And here's what I know. It's more important that I lead her and my family than I lead a congregation of thousands of people. It is. I mean, that's important. But if I lose this and I don't do this well, and I remember just saying to God right there, oh, I missed it. I missed what she was really saying. I need to go back and have another discussion and hear her heart, hear her emotion. And then bottom line, and I'll say this to the men, it's true for men and women, but men, step up. It was that simple. It's like, gee whiz, if I'm going to lead a church, then lead it home. Sorry about that. But you know what I mean? It's like, get angry about this and say, I can lead her. I'm not coming home
and being lazy. As women, we're looking for someone to like, let's pull out the word today. And look, you know, we're just saying, initiate prayer. You know, when you go to bed, grab your wife's hand or get on your knees. The most attractive thing you could do as men is to pray, to lead spiritually, of just saying, and it could be as simple as this. It could be just, God, help us. Help me to be the man you want me to be. If you prayed that prayer, your wife would be like crying because that's such an attractive thing.
I'll just add this. We don't have time to develop it. Again, it's in vertical marriage, but here's the thing. Men, write this down. Prayer to your wife is foreplay. Just saying. Okay, here we go. It is amazing how that spiritual leadership is important. So we got play. What's the L? Listen for emotion. A is appreciate daily. Proverbs 18:21 says about the words you speak. Says the power of life and death is in our words, in what we say, in our tongue. And so appreciate daily, and many marriages don't do this. Speak life. Speak words to her. Speak words to him that bring life, not death.
A consistent prayer for me has been, God, show me the greatness in my husband.
Yes, amen.
And then help me to speak that out loud to him. That's been a prayer for me with our kids too. God, show me the greatness in our kids and help me to speak that out loud to them. Because the enemy of our marriage is Satan, only gets us to see the negative. And he always gets us to speak that. But what if we use self-control and said, this, because God is always cheering for us. He's always saying, look at him. Look at the greatness in him. And Satan is always says, look at the weaknesses. And we want to point that out. So speak life.
This woman speaks life more than anybody I've ever known.
It's because I spoke death for years and years.
She speaks life every day. She says stuff to me I don't even think is true. You're an amazing man. I'm like, no, I'm not. And she says it and you start to believe it. That brings joy. That brings joy. It's interesting. The first time we've only given this talk one other time. And it was a few months ago, we had Michael Jr., the comedian, come to our church and we did a date night called Funny How Marriage Works. He brought the funny, we brought the marriage works. And we're hoping to do it around the country. Michael wants to pair up and do just these beautiful date nights. Well, here's the deal. When Michael came in for that date night, and we're going to do it that night at our church, she had just come home from being at the assisted living with her parents. The story you just heard, she was there all week. And her mom was about to die, and she has passed since that time. And so she was coming in And we got to speak that night, and she's really hurting.
I had come in that day, and just my soul was just hurting. And Dave's like, come on, you need to get up. You need to get this talk together. We need to do this. And I just said, I am so sad. Like, I don't think I can be funny. I'm just sad tonight.
And I was so bad, because it's like in 3 hours. I'm like, you got to put that aside. It's game day. You know, we got to walk on that stage, and we got to bring it. So just put it aside. And I was literally walking behind her around the house. Like, come on. And she was like, no, I can't. And then it became a fight, because I was demanding.
I think he said something like, you need to suck it up now.
Yeah, that went really well. That went really well. And there was a time, this is all how it happens, where she was in the kitchen, I went upstairs, 15, 20 minutes, and again, I settled down, and guess what I hadn't done? I hadn't prayed, and I hadn't listened for emotion. The very thing we're gonna talk about that night, I hadn't done, you know? And so I was like, what is her emotion? Oh my goodness, it just hit me. She is so hurting right now. Her mom and dad are both dying. Her mom might not make it another couple months, and she didn't. That's the world she just stepped out of into this world. And so I had to come in and say, I am so sorry. If you can't even speak tonight, we're good. I'll do it. You do not have to be there. Oh my gosh, I am so sorry for how I treated you.
And it was amazing. That's all I needed. I just needed him to acknowledge the pain. I needed him to acknowledge it. We prayed, and then I was like, yeah, reminder, okay, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so it was just, it's sometimes we just need to be there with each other in it.
And speak life. Okay, last one. We can do this in 1 minute. Play, listen for emotion, appreciate daily, nurture rest. Nurture rest. We run so fast. Our life is out of control. You've got to stop and take a Sabbath. The Sabbath is one of the Ten Commandments from God, because he knew we needed it and we wouldn't do it. So you got to stop. And preachers like me are really good at preaching the Sabbath and not living it. I don't take Sundays off. I can't, but I should take Mondays, and you need to as well. And you need a Sabbath rest, some play, some rest, some refresh in your marriage. If you're never stopping to refresh, never stopping to look each other in the eye and say, how are you doing? Whether it's on a cruise ship or in your backyard on the deck, where you get an iced tea and you just sit there and you turn off the TV, please turn off the TV and have some rest. It's that critical. We said in our book this, you need to pray daily, you need to play weekly, and you need to retreat annually. Think about this. What if you took some time every day to pray together? As people got our book around the country and started Facebooking us on Facebook, that was the thing many couples said. We'd never prayed together. Because of your book, you encouraged us to pray together. We started praying together. Our whole marriage changed. You know, because they're stopping to say, this matters. Weekly, go out on a date and sometimes just play. Make it fun. And then retreat annually is just once a year, get away. Guess what you're doing right now? You're doing that. Yeah, go to a weekend, remember, once a year. Go to a marriage conference, vertical marriage conference, once a year. Why? That recharges you.
And I know that some of you are thinking, we can't be joyful. You don't know what we're going through right now. And I think for Dave and I, in the last 5 weeks, our dog died. That was traumatic.
12 years. Oh, I love Duke. Oh, so hard.
My mom passed away. My dad is dying with congestive heart failure. And my brother was diagnosed with a very aggressive cancer. That's all happened in 5 weeks. And so I know, like, the pain, even for me, is like when I just sit, the pain is so great. And I sat with God, because that's our hiding place. That's where we go. He is the strength of our souls. And I sat with him, and I told Dave this too. I said, I feel like I'm in a field. I'm this little reed bent over because the wind is so hard on my back right now. And I'm so fragile. I feel like I'm breaking. And it was interesting. I sat with God and I told God, because confession is speaking the truth. God, this is where I am. This is what I'm feeling. This is what I'm going through. And I said, God, do you see me? Do you see me? I don't feel joy. And it was so interesting in my head, because I was asking him, speak to me, and he speaks so powerfully in his word. But in this instant, I had a picture in my head of an oak tree. And I had this picture of these roots going deep, deep into the ground. And I felt like God said, you may feel like you're a fragile reed getting ready to break, but you're a mighty oak. And your roots are so deep that the wind is blowing so hard, but I'm holding you up. And the thing that came to my mind was the Isaiah 61, where he calls us righteous oaks. And so I sit there and I think, Satan is telling us, it's too late. You have nothing. But God is always speaking life to us. He's showing us the truth of this is who you are. This is who your spouse is. And this is your future. He has us in the palm of his hands, and we can rest
and
there.
And I can tell you, just watching her through this season of our life. And by the way, this is a season, not our story.
Yes.
If you're going through something really hard right now, it's a season. It's not your story. And there's a God walking with you in that season. And that God gives joy, even in pain. I've watched her have this joy that draws me in, even though you heard the truth underneath it. It's really, really hard. So let's pray, and I'm going to encourage you, go do the plan and rejoice in the Lord always. Father God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for joy that emanates from your being to us. And Lord, I know you're saying to us, you will never experience complete joy apart from me.
Yes.
And so Lord, may we go to you, not our spouse, not even a cruise. That's not going to, you, Jesus, are the only true source of true, deep joy, a joy that's deeper than happy, a joy that's not dependent on circumstances, a joy that permeates through the valley and the mountains because it's from the heart of you, Jesus. So God, I pray that we would know you that well and that we could experience your joy in this place. We love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you.
Well, we've been listening to the morning devotion from the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise with Dave and Ann Wilson. This was just a couple of weeks ago on board the cruise. I was struck as I listened to you guys with the idea, we think joy is something that should just happen or should just be there. There are times you have to fight to get to joy, don't you?
I think, too, as we talk about the scripture that says the joy of the Lord is our strength, we have to fight for that. Mm-hmm. And I find myself running to God to get that because it doesn't come through circumstances.
And, you know, as we shared in that message, you know, I've watched Ann do that in this season, you know, with her mom dying. And it sounds trivial, your dog dying, but just the struggles that we've walked through.
That everyone walks through.
Yeah, and I just personally have watched you fight for it. Find it in the Lord. Because there's a lot of times you think, I can't have any joy unless life is somewhat stable. In some ways, that's true, but you can have a real joy. It's not a happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're not jumping around like this sort of fake, but there's a deep contentment and joy because you know the Lord's in control and he gives strength in that moment.
Well, we live in a fallen world. The circumstances of a fallen world will not always produce happiness, but Jesus said, be of good cheer.
Yeah.
I've overcome the world.
Right.
So what is good cheer? It's joy. And it was such a great attitude adjustment, I think, for all of us, which again is a part of what we're doing on board the cruise. We are pointing people regularly to the Lord and to one another in the midst of a great season of rest on board the cruise. And I say rest, there's a lot of activity, people are tired, but it's so different than what your normal environment is. I'm saying this because we're 60% sold out for next year's cruise. I'd love for some of our Family Life Today listeners to be able to join us next year. If you'd like to take advantage of a special offer we're making between now and March 16th, you can sign up to be on next year's cruise. And you'll save $300 per couple off the cost of your stateroom. The information's available online. You can go to familylifetoday.com for more information or call 1-800-FL-TODAY. And we expect this cruise may sell out in the next 30 days. So let me encourage you, if you're interested at all in joining us Valentine's week of 2021 for the cruise, go to familylifetoday.com to find out more or call 1-800-FL-TODAY to get registered.
Here's my line. If you snooze, you lose on the cruise.
Oh, that's good.
My line is, on the cruise is a good place to snooze. So
That's good, too.
Either way, jump on it.
Now, tomorrow, we're going to hear Dr. Gary Chapman, who was one of our speakers on board the Love Like You Mean It Marriage Cruise. He talked about how we can do a better job of seeking forgiveness from one another, apologizing to one another, which honestly is something that not all of us have mastered at this point in our lives. You can tune in and hear Dr. Chapman tomorrow. I hope you can join us for that. I want to thank our engineer today, Keith Lynch. We got some help from James Youngblood today. On behalf of our hosts, Dave and Ann Wilson, I'm Bob Lapine. We'll see you back tomorrow for another edition of Family Life Today. Family Life Today is a production of Family Life of Little Rock, Arkansas, a CREW ministry. Help for today, hope for tomorrow.